today on The Bill Kelly Show on 900 CHML.
Ask our next guest about that. He is Detective Sergeant Steve Brozyak of Hamilton Police Services. Steve, thank you so much for the time. It's great to have you on the show today.
Good morning. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about the numbers themselves. You know the story, but just to inform our listeners about this, over the last 30 years or so, the average was 10 or 11 homicides in the city here, and it varied, of course, as those numbers would. Only five last year. What's the reason for that?
Well, it's hard to pinpoint an exact reason, but I do think after the year that we had last year with 20 homicides, which was a record high for the city, we were successful in our investigations, and I do attribute some of that to locking up some significant players that were involved in you know, severe violence in the city, and I do think that had an impact on the street level crime, reducing our homicides and perhaps quelling some of the shootings for a period of time, although they are obviously back on the increase. But I do think because we had overlapping homicides in 2021, where the same people were involved in several homicides and attempt murders, for that matter, once they were arrested and charged, we've seen the decrease. So I do attribute some of that to that.
Which I want to bear down a little bit further on that, because I know in you know, we have our chiefs town halls over the years, and we've had a number of chiefs, Chief Bergen and so many others have done this and come on and talked about some of these stats. You actually had a guns and gang squad, of course, on Hamilton Police. I don't know if that's still in existence, but it was, I think, in response to the fact that there was a lot of gang activity, not necessarily organized crime, but gang activity, where a lot of these murders, when those numbers were high, retaliatory gang after gang.
So, absolutely, there were. I can tell you there were three distinct homicides last year. I won't say the specific ones, but there were three that were, in fact, retaliatory, eye for eye killings, so to speak. Where, you know, the first murder happens, and then, of course, there's a retribution killing after that, and then yet another one. So, you know, once those you know, the people involved in those were arrested, we saw that those types of incidents immediately reduce.
And can we extrapolate from that the police service has been successful? I guess you're never going to eliminate it. It's going to be there, and there's a variety of reasons why there are gangs. And as to how organized they are and how violent they are, I guess that's going to ebb and flow too, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, they're not. They seem to go on peaks and valleys, and you know, that type of that. They're not necessarily super organized groups. However, they are organized to some degree. The police service has taken, you know, steps to combat that level of violence and sort of street gang activity at the time by creating that Project Strong, which we saw last year. And that was a team that was pulled from various different units within the service. So it wasn't something that was going to be a full-time thing. It was just they removed resources from certain areas to then focus on gang violence and the gun violence in particular. And when we focus on something like that, there's success, because that becomes their main focus, and that becomes their ability to investigate, you know, further, maybe more in depth, and then with that, there's success in laying charges and holding those accountable.
Well, and we can see that anecdotally just in some of the reporting that we've experienced, of course, over the years. I don't want to say it was common practice, but there was a lot of gunplay that was going on in the city a couple of years ago. The one that always jumps out to me was down around Beamer Park, right in the center of the city downtown. What was it, Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, there was a gunplay. I mean, back and forth. I don't think anybody was actually hit in that particular incident, but I think it kind of brought to the fore that we've got a real problem here. And the fact that those statistics have gone down indicates that you've had some success there in quelling that. Now, having said that, I know there's just a shots fired thing up on the Central Mountain just the other day. So it's still going to be there, but it seems to have decreased considerably.
Well, we were fortunate enough to see some reduction in homicides. Now, there also were many, many cases last year that would have been perhaps, you know, additional homicides or near homicides. But, you know, I have to, you know, tip the cap to our EMS personnel and the hospital staff who do tremendous work in keeping these victims alive. And the numbers certainly could have been, you know, many more than five. You know, there's still a number of shootings. We're seeing too many shootings in the city, too many for comfort. And again, the good work of the frontline personnel and the EMS and the work that they do in the hospital is incredible to keep people alive, which keeps my office out of it. So the number certainly could have been higher. This is certainly a bit of an outlier at five. It's nice to see. It's still too many, though. You know, Bill, like five. It's still five murders. Sure. You don't want to see any in a city, but we're one of the Big 12 cities in the province, and you know, five is good for us. But it's still too many.
I just got a couple of minutes left here. I want to jump in here. Maybe I'm hearkening back to my days on city council, all these many years ago, when we would have be presented with police budgets. And there's always a propensity, and I've heard rumblings on the city council this time. Stats are down. Maybe we can cut the police budget. And it's a cause and effect situation. And you know, if you're going to do that, then you can pretty much expect that you're going to see an increase in stats if you're going to have fewer police on the street or investigating or whatever, you know, doing your job and protecting the community like that. There's a balance that has to be maintained. And I think some people in the community may not understand that, but certainly city councils have to understand that, the fact that these stats are down means this complement that you've got, which by the way, is still under the ratio that's recommended for Hamilton policing right across the country. You need everybody you can get right now to make sure that you maintain these numbers.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, and we are below the provincial average for officers per 100,000 here in Hamilton. You know, we need to increase that number, and obviously I'm going to stand with the chief on that. I see the impact of resources throughout the service to reduce certainly our office. I mean, I have 12 detectives that work in the homicide unit. Three of them are assigned to every single homicide case. So if you take three detectives per case, you know, the numbers start to add up in terms of what's required. And when we're not investigating homicides, we are then working with the court system. We've got nearly 40 homicides in the queue right now that are looking to be tried, and we work closely with the Crown Attorney's Office. We're serving subpoenas. We're looking for witnesses that are hesitant to come to court. So there's never a moment where we're not doing something. Cold cases are important as well. You know, we don't have a cold case unit, and we work on those when we're not working on any active homicides.
Yeah. Of course, on TV, it only takes them an hour to solve the crime. It's not the case in reality. Steve, thanks so much for this. Appreciate the time, and stay well. We'll talk again soon, I hope.
Thanks very much, Bill. Appreciate it.
The Bill Kelly Show, weekdays from 9 to noon on 900 CHML.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.